Hello, guys. Welcome to the Warp Drive. This is Zach here, back to you with another great episode. Today, we're here with Owen Maurice
How's it going, everybody?
and special guest, John Madej. John, say hi.
Hi, what's up?
Now, I wanted to bring you guys on for a very special episode of the Warp Drive. We were very pleased with our last episode, the Star Wars retrospective, where we talked about our favorite movies. And said, like, which Star Wars was the best, which one was the worst, that kind of deal. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of great guests. So I thought, why not have that same idea, that same format with my other favorite movie series, the Disney's Mighty Ducks. And you two, John and Owen, you're the biggest Mighty Ducks fans I know. Is this true?
That is very true. That is very
it's just
true.
you know, it's a fantastic trilogy. It couldn't
Of course.
it's just fantastic.
I know when I was little, it was what inspired me to join hockey. It was my first sport, my last sport. Not an athletic person. Neither of you got into hockey, though, right?
No, although I wish I did. I wish I
I
did.
had a quick stint in hockey, lasted a day, but I mean, I played.
Why do you stop, John? What scared you off?
You know, I couldn't handle the skates. I still can't skate to this day, actually. Owen knows.
Yeah, John is a little bit of a quote unquote bender.
Some could say, some could say.
I gotta say, skating is probably my only skill when it comes to hockey. Any other facet, I epically fail. I infamously quit hockey after getting checked once. So I guess you could say none of us are quite the hockey expert, which makes us the perfect judges of the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Of course.
When were you guys first exposed to the Mighty Ducks? Is this a famous movie from your childhood? Was this the first time you watched it?
I'll go first, John, but I remembered watching the Mighty Ducks as a child, but they came out in the 90s. I was not born in the 90s,
Sure.
and the last time I watched one was I caught the end of the second movie on a orchestra trip in Minnesota with my friend Zach.
Of course. Let me piggyback off of that. That was actually my first exposure to the Mighty Ducks as a movie franchise. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it immediately became my favorite movies, hockey related, of course. What about you, John? Have you seen these movies before?
Like Owen said, it's a little bit before our time, but I definitely remember like early or like in my childhood watching the very first movie. But now I didn't really remember it that well. But then I rewatched all three movies, obviously, and I don't know, like it just like you said, they're just great movies. I think the Miracle movie, do you know that movie, Zach?
Yeah, of course.
That's another good hockey movie, but these ones are really good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Miracle's good. I also know. I think it's Slapshot was kind of like an edgier one, where they show kind of the brutal side of hockey. So this is definitely a more kid-friendly version. But yeah, so I remembered it a little bit when I was a kid too. The standout for me was Kenan Thompson. Whose character, oh my God, what's it? Russ? Is that his name?
Russ Tyler.
Yes, Russ Tyler. His character shows up in the second movie. But that was kind of my only connection to it since I'm a big Kenan Thompson fan. I've watched SNL, Saturday Night Live, for a really long time. He had a very famous career on Nickelodeon, on All That, which was a good show. And he's in the Mighty Ducks. So that's kind of what I was drawn to. But I was happy to find out that the movies were good on their own. My first time watching the first one, so that was kind of an interesting experience. But I guess without further ado, let's jump into it. We can get right into the first Mighty Ducks movie, D1, which I'm looking on the Disney fandom website, and there's a ton of different Mighty Ducks related things. Apparently, there was a Mighty Ducks TV series, an animated series. 1996. So I didn't watch that. Maybe that's another episode. but we can get started on the first movie. So I thought we would do the same format as we did the Star Wars one, which is kind of just a casual conversation on what you liked with the movie, or maybe what you didn't like with the movie, and then sort of just an overall impression, and we can go on film by film until we wrap it up. But let's start, Owen. What's some things that stood out in Mighty Ducks 1 that you enjoyed?
I personally, Adam Banks was one of my, favorite characters throughout the whole series, not just the first one. He's a former Hawk, and if you're not familiar, the Hawks are the powerhouse team in the division of Minnesota Pee Wee Hockey, and they end up destroying the Ducks before the Ducks, like before, before Coach Bombay, like,
right,
sees himself and gets the team on his back and starts, you know, rallying troops and whatnot. And before Adam Banks comes along, there is Terry Hall and Jesse Hall, and then there's also Peter Mark. Peter is the, if you're unfamiliar, the Hall twins are the only two twins on the team. You can't really miss them. But those two and Peter Mark were very, very against bringing Banks because he wasn't a quote-unquote duck at heart. So they call him, they call him Cake Eater, and they make fun of him. But then the way that they don't pass him the puck, even though he's clearly the best player on the ice, both teams that, they play, and just the way they accept him and the way that they grow as a team was one of my favorite parts. And just the remarks from Peter, you know, making fun of people and making fun of Bombay, just very, very comedy from the children. And that was funny for me.
I completely forgot about Peter Mark, the character. I think he's one of the few kids that only stay in the first one.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, he's only in the first movie.
Yeah. And then there's also Dave Karp, who's only in the first movie. And he is, he's kind of like the prankster. He's the one that, like, not really, he wasn't really one of the main characters, but he was one of the chubbier kids on the team.
And, right.
And just kind of a funny guy. And then who else was only only D1? Oh, the figure skater, the brother and sister. They were only in D1. Tammy and Tommy Duncan.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
So they kind of had a minimal role. They got brought into the team because they were figure skaters and they could skate well. And I think Tommy was the only person that could score because he wasn't really out of the two Duncan twins. Or not twins, but brother and sister.
Hmm. One character that supposedly is in all three, but I was not aware of until like probably the last movie, is Guy Germain. He's like the boyfriend character to I think it's Connie.
Yeah, it's Connie.
I did not know he existed until the last movie. So
he kind of had like a minimal role like throughout all three, but he was in all three.
Yeah, his role as like an actor or like as a character was very minimal, but if you like watch the movies and like listen like pretty gregariously or whatever, I don't know if that's the right word I'm using.
He's always there.
Yeah, but he is one of the he's second to Adam Banks in terms of all around skill.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I see that here. Yeah, according to the Disney fandom wiki, they have all the kids ranked by skill. So you can pick out which kids are the worst at hockey. That's great.
Just absolutely degrade the children.
John, which characters from D1 did you gravitate towards?
You know, not just from D1, but all three movies. The coach, Gordon Bombay. Mm. You know, I feel like we could all relate to him in some aspect. Just
raging alcoholic.
Maybe not on that level, but. He had a real look in the mirror and he had to decide what he was going to do with his life, I guess. And I just feel like we all like struggle with some things. And for him, I guess it was coming back to hockey because of the past that he had with it. And I just thought like throughout the movie, like it was just really cool for me to see him like be able to love something again that he gave up. But as far as like the players go, where is he? Who's the goalie?
Goldberg
is a clown. He's probably one of my favorite characters just because his character is just hilarious and I had fun with him through all three of the movies actually.
Yeah, Goldberg definitely, once we get to the third movie, definitely definitely stepped up in multiple ways.
But Goldberg's great and on Gordon Bombay, I'm on his fandom page. He's an insane character. in the first movie, I felt like. Watching it with Owen, he has a throwaway line that they do bring up later in the movie where he's like, these kids don't even deserve to live. And it's because they're bad at hockey. And I was he's one of the characters that like he gets much better in like D2, and especially like he has such a small role in D3, but like he's at his best then. Mm-hmm. But it does a good job of really making you hate him right away. Because then when he becomes a good coach and a good mentor, it's like a 180 and you like him then.
Yeah. That's just great character development. Like, yeah, as you said, by the time it's the third movie, like you just have to love him no matter like where you stood with him at the beginning of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a little different recording when we're all separated, but go ahead.
I was just gonna say that he's kind of just a bizarre character in this first one because it's like it's such a weird situation where he's going from being a lawyer to like having to be a coach of like a peewee team, and it's just kind of a strange setup. But like, by you're right, John. By the end, it's like you're totally on his side, mm-hmm. which is good because I do like it. I like the actor, and I eventually like the character. So he's a good main guy to keep an eye on throughout the whole trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like if you look at things from like a strictly like a hero's journey type of deal, like usually you have like your darkest hour, and he has his struggle pretty early, and then he gets them all together and they're doing so well, but then they bring Adam Banks in and then that kind of goes down the drain a little bit, and then he says you guys stink, and then they only have two or three people show up. I don't even think Banks was on the team at this point.
No, not really.
No.
But now he was like in the process, and then he kind of has that again, and then they start to have fun, and then they bring Banks, and then he goes downhill again. So it's really like up and down. It's like a roller coaster with like you like him and then you don't. But then in the first movie, part of me is kind of still coming to terms with is the whole relationship that Bombay had with one of his players' moms, Mrs. Conway, Charlie's mother.
Right.
And let's just talk about Charlie for a minute in like all three movies.
Thank you.
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, everyone. Charlie Conway is the worst written character I have seen in a movie.
Could you elaborate a little?
I will elaborate. In the first movie, it comes down to he apparently develops the triple deke, which was Bombay's move that he missed the shot to win the game, and it comes down to Charlie Conway taking a penalty shot against the Hawks, and he makes the shot. Like you can tell he's the captain. He's a very good leader, and he's got very good hockey knowledge. But it seemed like the first movie that he's not the greatest player, but he could score from here and there. Mm-hmm. And then in the second movie, we're just going to jump around a little bit right now, just because we're talking Conway and Charlie as a whole. Second movie, you know, he's not really doing anything in the Goodwill Games. He's not scoring a lot of goals. It's mostly Gee, Banks, Mendoza, Fulton Reed, the other Bash brother, Portman, I think, Dean. Mm-hmm. And you know, even Russ Tyler, the knuckle pucker, is getting in there, and Charlie's not doing much. And then Adam Banks gets hurt. He gives away his spot to Banks when Banks recovers from his injury after they pick up Russ Tyler. And he gives up his spot because he says his passion is for coaching. But then we get to the third movie.
Yeah.
And Charlie's this all of a sudden stud captain.
It's crazy. All-star.
All-star. And it just doesn't really make much sense. But then I do like the end of the third movie. And I'm not going to spoil it quite yet because we haven't even finished talking about the first film.
I do agree with you though that Charlie as a character, it's hard to see where he fits in the term and like in the space of the team, because like in the first one he's like kind of the weaker player, but like Bombay like sees himself in him, he kind of talks about, so it's like that's why you like Charlie. D2 you forget about Charlie. I forgot about Charlie, And I think that's why they made him give his seat to Banks.
Yeah.
Because it's like he doesn't have much to contribute. And then, of course, you get to D3. Now he's the main character. He's the best player. It's like such a weird turnaround.
Yeah. Yep.
About
great.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's weird because he's supposed to be like such a pivotal character. Like he's supposed to be one of the main characters in the movies, wouldn't you say?
I agree.
And like in the first movie, I feel like he was. There's a great like backstory, or there's a great story with him and how Bombay sees himself in Charlie or whatnot. But then, yeah, like the second movie, he's just disappeared. He could have been an extra for all I care in that movie. And then by the time you get to the third movie, he's just like the superhero, like best player on the ice. It just felt, I don't know. I agree with you guys for sure. Just it didn't really make all too much sense to me.
I love D3, and we'll get to each of these movies, but like just sort of a precursor, I do think that it kind of stands on its own in a lot of different ways. It foregoes some of the bits that like the comedic bits, the story kind of repetitions that happen in D1 and D2. And it's like its own like little sport movie. Like it's like Charlie's journey in D3 is really great, it's so out of nowhere. Yeah. It's like, what?
You could take that movie out of the trilogy for sure. And it would stand alone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. But like with the kids going to the North Stars game, that was really cool in my opinion, because I wasn't around when the North Stars were a real thing, but like it seemed like it was like filmed during a real game, and like it just that part was like really good. You felt like you were there with them, and then with the whole Gordon going to the minors, and then that leads up into the second movie is also really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, talk about a weird time for the Mighty Ducks to come out, because it's like you get Mighty Ducks 1 in, what is it, 92? And then the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, which was originally created by the Walt Disney Company, comes out like 2 years later. So it's like they make a throw-off movie about hockey, and they're like, oh, wow, people like this. Let's create an entire club franchise in the NHL. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy, actually.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's then, cool. Yeah, okay. But, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Saying like throughout the franchise, the three movies, you have the North Stars becoming the Dallas Stars, which ties in with one of the other characters. What's his name? Dwayne Robertson, the cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And they reference that a couple times in the second and third movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the newer characters that come in like D2 and D3. They're really interesting. Well, we've had some time to talk about some of the main characters that start in D1 and carry through. So why don't we talk a little bit about what happens in D1 and like maybe things that you like. I know for me, something that I love about the Mighty Ducks movies is the different, I talked about earlier, the bits that maintain through each one. And I like watching with Owen, I was talking to you about all about this, is like you get the newspaper cutouts that like spit on screen, like whenever important things happen. Mm-hmm. My favorite one being Gordon Bombay's ritual rollerblading when he's sad and needs to think about everything for a bit.
Classic.
I love that. So yeah, just stuff like that. What do you guys like about the plot necessarily of Mighty Ducks 1 and some things that stick out?
For me, like what you said, I honestly loved the newspaper cutouts and how they always had headlines for like the Pee Wee games and stuff like that. Like, and especially how it's filmed and or how it takes place in Minnesota, and you know Minnesota is a really big hockey state. So I honestly really liked those as well.
Sure.
What about you, John?
I don't know.
What about you, John?
For me, like those, I thought that was a great, like great transitions when they were able to do that. And it was something that I always like picked out, and I thought it was cool. And I always knew as soon as he puts his skates on, like after the next scene, like something good's about to happen. But overall, the first movie is just like, it's a good heartfelt, like by the end of the movie, you're just like, I just felt like happy. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, they win the championship or whatnot. And I don't know. It was just a good story. It was like a ragtag group of kids at the beginning. And then by the end, that they were able to win a championship. And I don't know. I always think stuff like that's cool. The underdog story to me is always cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious underdog story because, like, you see the kids practicing in the beginning. And it's like, not only do they have like no equipment, they're like actually bad at the game.
Yeah, they're terrible. Let's not deny it. They're awful.
They're really bad. So it's like they have everything stacked against them. So it is cool to see them, you know, conquer the Hawks at the end. It's very fun.
Yeah, I mean another part of it that really sticks out to me is it's a lot like the first movie, especially is extremely like the Bad News Bears.
Oh yeah, well, for
it's
sure.
Like a hockey, it's like hockey themed, and I just really like that. Like,
I've forgotten about that movie too. That's a really great movie. Yeah, I love the sport kids movies because it's just like, yeah, I don't know, it's just such a fun environment. And another thing I loved about the Mighty Ducks trilogy, that's like one of like you watch the first one and then you go on to the second one, and I thought this character would just go away. I was not expecting him to stay. Mm-hmm. But Hans in the first movie, and then wrapping it up with Hans in the last movie. And what's his brother's name that's in the second one? It's like John or something.
I'm not.
I forget. But do you guys remember Hans?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you Hans, remember that?
Yeah.
Hans and Jan.
Jan, yes. I just loved both of those characters. I thought they were really effective with like kind of being a mentor role for Gordon Bombay in the first one with Hans. I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, and then mentor to Bombay, but then by the time you get to the third movie, he's Charlie's mentor, which is really cool. That was cool for me to see at least.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the first movie, like, yeah, I just... In like all the movies, like you have Hans who flies out to California, or I think it's Jan in that movie, but the two of them are just, you can tell that they mean so much to everybody on that team, and like they do a really good job portraying that throughout the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm trying to, in my mind, I saw Hans and the other guy's name? Jan. I see them as like the same person in my mind. I need to like find a picture of this other character.
Yeah,
they have like the same exact role because they both work at the skate shop and they both are mentors.
Right, right. Yeah.
Another
cool. Any other final comments on D1 that you like or anything else you enjoyed?
Go ahead, John.
Oh, go ahead, Ron. Okay. this is hard not being able to see each other. But like I said, the whole underdog theme that all three of these movies have, I really enjoyed. And in the first movie, you get to see Bombay go up against his old peewee coach that kind of like ruined his life in a sense because he like ruined hockey for him and he gets to win. And I just like, I don't know. I just like, I thought that was cool.
For a coach that's like been, you know, working with kids for a huge chunk of his life, he's like a total jerk.
He really is.
Just really strange. Yeah. Gordon Bombay is definitely a much better mentor. And I like how that's kind of a thing you see with all the movies, or at least more like the first two, because the third one kind of turns it on its head. You see like Gordon Bombay as the good coach, and then this other coach is like the evil coach. Mm-hmm. Which I guess that could take us right into D2, which I'm finding on the Disney fandom website. That's the Goodwill Games. Is that what you said, Owen? Yeah. Yeah. So what changes between the first one and the second one necessarily?
I'm not going to say I like all three movies, but I mean, in all movies can be a little far-fetched, but it just seemed kind of crazy to me how that team went from winning the Pee Wee Championship or whatever, and now they're a Team USA. But if we can, it was a little bit far fetched, I would say. But
I think that's fair. I think it's crazy. Like when I won my squirt level hockey championship, I wasn't like recruited to Team USA. Yeah. So yeah, it's a little crazy. But this movie is definitely kind of like, it takes what you liked about the first one and just gives you more of it. I feel, it keeps some of the major characters. Does it get rid of any? We still have the Hall brothers, right?
The Hall brothers is in D2. Terry is no longer on the team. And then you lose Dave Karp and Peter Mark.
Peter's not on either, yeah.
Yeah, both Duncans.
The Duncans are gone. And then, like, so what changes is, like, it still has a pretty similar, like, plot towards it. You know, you have all the players, and then you have, I forgot what the, was it, like, Hendrix or something? You have, like, that brand or whatever that comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the brand
coming in, and then they're like, oh, we got to get the Minnesota Miracle Man, Gordon Bombay, to coach this team. And then, like, if you're coaching a national team, it's usually not going to be the underdog team. But then they bring in these new people, and then they scrimmage, and then they kind of hit it off poorly, and then they start to become more of a unit and a well-oiled machine through Bombay and, like, the differences between all the people.
Yeah, I really like the new characters that D2 introduces. Mendoza is like a standout. I love Mendoza. I really like, oh my god, the girl goalie. Julie Gaff. I think she is such a cool character that gets totally underserved, like both D2 and D3. There's a part in D2 where Gordon Bombay is like, hey, Julie, don't worry. Like, oh my God, I keep on forgetting that. Goldberg. Yeah, he's like, Goldberg's goalie. You'll get your chance, though. Yeah. And her chance is the final shot of a shootout in the last game of the whole. It's like, oh my God.
That was
it's like
one of the only things that upset me about that movie, honestly, is like that part, because they're like, yeah, you'll get your shot, and then it's just like she has two, like 10 seconds at the end. But I mean, you know,
yeah, it was annoying, and I think it's even worse in D3. Just like the purpose of her character in the third movie is just bizarre, like with her rivalry Goldberg.
Yeah. She doesn't have as quick, or so she has a slower glove. So she has a slower glove.
Just such a weird plan. I don't know where that even comes from. It's just like
Goldberg.
Oh yeah, I'll sabotage.
Eating and playing goalie. But the introduction of the character I love the most is the introduction of Russ Tyler, and it's like he's just an LA kid, a hood hockey player, like I forgot what they called it, like a I don't know, we call it the hood hockey player because it's all him, and they're just like they play with like the trash cans, and they got their roller skates, and they're just dirty trash talking, funny characters, and then Russ Tyler just pops his head over the boards when I think it was when Dean Portman went to the box, and he's just like just calling him names, and I can't remember what he was saying, but he was just like goofing off and laughing at him and like made fun of Coach Bombay, and then when things go south, like when they catch Bombay macking with the Iceland trainer, and then they're like, oh, all you're worried about is the media and all you're worried about is all these distractions, so he gets distracted by all the fame that's coming to him, and so they have a shitty game, and then they go and they play with all these hood hockey players, and they're kind of going at it at first, and then they make a nice little they hit it off, and they're friends.
Come back.
And then the part about the second movie that gets me is I think it had to have been Fulton Reed hit one out of the cage, and it hits a car. And then it turns out that that's Dennis Rodman's car.
Yeah.
And then he goes alley-oop, and then throws the puck back on the quote unquote rink.
There's a lot of really crazy cameos, yeah. But like that one definitely stands out. It's it's really funny.
I think Gretzky's in the second movie too, and yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's in the second movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's really, really cool.
Like you said, Owen, that scene where they play against Russ Tyler's friend group was just, that was like an iconic scene.
Yeah, and then we haven't really talked about many of the new additions, but one of my favorite parts is like they're having a little bit of a scuffle after they become friends, and mm-hmm. then the Russ Tyler's older brother goes to Ken Wu, he goes, you gotta take his jersey, pull it up, and then pull it over his head. And then Ken Wu gets into a scuffle the next game, little Ken Wu, and then he puts it over his head and like throws a couple punches and then gets the name of the third Bash brother.
Yeah, that was funny.
I love that.
I was glad that they put that in there.
Yeah. I love Ken Wu. I love all the new additions. They're really, really fun. Probably my least favorite, if I could say that. The rodeo kid, the cowboy. Dwayne. What's his name?
Dwayne Robertson. Yeah.
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 Yeah. But when he hops out onto the ice to save Connie, it's just breaks every rule in hockey. Yeah, I love it.
He gets 3 minutes or 2 minutes for lassoing.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah. That was stupid, but you know, I
mean, it's a Disney movie. Like, it's gonna have its moments like that.
And then
it's always funny.
The one character that I wish that they would have included a love interest for Coach Bombay was Miss McKay. She was the education or like the like
the tutor.
She was the tutor for the team, making sure they kept the grades up while they were in LA. And she was great. Lady.
She was.
And
I was go ahead.
And she ends up stepping in as the coach when Bombay was figuring himself out.
I mean, I was pulling for the Iceland trainer, but I mean, yeah, Miss McKay, she'll do it, I guess, for Bombay.
They forget about the Iceland trainer too after this movie, or even just halfway through. It's like they have a really nice date. His kids on the team are like, you can't see her anymore. You have to not talk to them. And then, she's just gone. Yeah, we never see her again.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just.
That was funny.
But I do like Miss McKay. She's very funny.
The part that gets me from the second movie is the Iceland people see Russ absolutely smack a knuckle puck in for a goal, and then whenever he's on the ice they're like double teaming him and they're not letting anything happen when he's on the ice. Bombay calls a timeout, throws in Russ at the goalie position.
Oh my god.
And then what is honestly so good about that scene is, if you've like, I mean, I've played little bits of hockey and like mini sticks or whatever, and you can't shoot with a goalie stick. And one part that sticks out to me is somebody goes, "Here, Russ," and they toss him their stick, and then he gets the puck up, knuckles it in.
I love it. I think it's such a funny situation where it's like, okay, Russ is getting cornered by players, so how do we get him on the ice and get him to score? Oh, let's quickly swap pads on the ice. While everyone's watching, and make him the goalie, and then he gets the steal. It's just such a bizarre moment, but it's
perfect.
Really fun.
It's perfect for exactly what the Mighty Ducks are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any last things to mention, or any other ideas from D2 that you enjoyed?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that covers most of it. I mean, the whole thing with Mendoza stopping for the first time and then putting in the goal because he like iced the goalie's face. I love that too. And then just the whole thing with Hans flying out to California and talking some sense into Bombay. Like, a coach doesn't live this far away from his players, especially when they're that young, and like just basically making Bombay come down to earth a little bit as well as the players doing that. I just think that was that they did a very good job of
I like that too. I thought it was more good character development for Gordon. Because by the end of the first movie, I liked him a lot. But then towards like the middle, he gets wrapped up in all the sponsorship and all the money stuff. But then, what was it? Hans? When he flies out, able to talk to him, sense into him. And then for the rest of the movie and for the third movie, he's the good person and coach that that the Mighty Ducks need. So I thought that was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
This is probably Gordon's best movie, just because you get to see him at his best, but also struggle a little bit. So I definitely like him a lot here. Cool. Well, here, let's transition over to D3, the big finale.
I think this might be one of our unanimous favorites, almost.
John, do you agree? Is this the best Mighty Ducks?
I mean, it's hard to knock like the classics. Like I usually say the first one's my favorite, but I don't know. D3 is really like it might be my favorite, honestly.
I would agree.
Like,
with
this
that.
Is a good
like,
one. Just
because like going into it, D2 was my favorite by far, just because of how everything panned out in the end.
Mm.
But D3, everybody made everyone to hate the coach. But like, if you look at it from a realistic standpoint, everything he was saying the entire movie was right, was correct.
Yeah.
He was completely correct, and that made sense. And not many people understood that. So that's one part of the D3 that stuck out to me. Was just the I can't remember his name. I'm gonna look it up.
Coach Brian. That's the new guy.
Coach Brian. Coach Brian was honestly a very good character throughout the entire movie, I would say.
Ryan, not Brian, but
Ryan, yeah.
I did not know this movie existed before sitting down to watch The Mighty Ducks. But it's a really, really good setup where it's like, okay, these kids have been playing hockey together for now many years. They've gone through a lot together. They've gone onto like a world stage, essentially in D2, and then it brings them back down to earth. It grounds them again for D3, where it's like, okay, now they're high schoolers, and they're like, okay, they get invited to this new preparatory school. It's very nice. It has a lot of hockey history, and they get to still play together, but now they're playing for the school rather than Gordon Bombay. Which I thought is a really interesting setup, and it gives Charlie a lot to do because he's sort of the one that struggles the most with this new setting and new situation.
Yeah, especially for Charlie, because he has such a close relationship with Coach Bombay. It was interesting to see how he handled that. I mean, he handled it probably like most any teenager would. Negative at first, but then. Yeah, like these kids are, what are they supposed to be, freshmen?
Yeah, in this movie? 14 going on 15.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously he was pissed at first because he loved his coach or whatnot, but I don't know. It was cool to see him, his character. I know we were kind of clowning this. Owen was clowning his character, but I thought it was pretty cool to see like that character development, at least in the third movie with Charlie.
Like, on that standpoint, like if you take out the first two movies and just put that movie alone and have no knowledge of Charlie, my respect for him would be through the roof, honestly. Mm. But just knowing like he wasn't that great, he gives up his spot for the best player on the team, which not many people would do unless they know they're not the greatest and that they have a future in coaching, as he said.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's an interesting switch for the character, and I think if this movie were on its own, I wouldn't mind that, because it's like I really did not like Charlie in the beginning of D3, but then once he finally like figures everything out and he comes back to the team after leaving it briefly, it's like it's such a huge relief. It's basically very similar to kind of Bombay's situation in D1, where he's going through his own hero's journey. And I just love him. By the end of D3, I like love Charlie. I just thought it was such a cool character. But like, yeah, it is weird going from like D2, very supporting role, with like, oh, I want to be a coach. I'm bad at hockey. And now it's like, I'm the star player. It's all about
me. I've always been the captain. Like, who are you to tell me?
Banks was the captain in D2. They briefly mentioned that, I think, or at least you can see it on his jersey. He's the captain.
Yeah. That's 100% true. I loved Adam Banks because he was like, I hate the Ducks. I don't want to be on the Ducks. I'm a Hawk at heart. But then he ends up being the only person that can score goals consistently for the Ducks, and then has such a prominent role in the second movie where he gets hurt, and then they have to pick up somebody new, and then he comes back and has a good game. And then I was kind of upset at first because I wasn't upset when Adam Banks goes third line center varsity. I was like, finally, he's getting the respect he deserves. But then the varsity team ends up hating him, and then the rest is history. We'll get into that a little bit later.
I think I was definitely a little disappointed that we saw less of Adam Banks as the trilogy went on. Going into D2, I thought he would be sort of like, not really a foil to Charlie, but kind of just like a parallel of like, okay, Charlie isn't good at hockey, but he's like, you know, like he's the sweet kid. He's like Gordon Bombay's like almost son. So it's like, he's kind of the kid we see it through. And then Banks is like the really good kid who could go all the way. And we don't see that in D3. He's kind of just one of the varsity kids. And like, he's not really, he is one of the better ones, 'cause he's the only one that scores on Julie? In that scrimmage, right?
He was the only person that scored on Julie.
Yeah. But I just wish there was more Banks in D3.
Yeah, and then another thing about D3, right at the beginning that you and I talked about quite a bit, Zach, was the beginning sequence with them all skating, like rollerblading and roller skating throughout, like the Mall of America, like getting everybody together, and like
I love it.
We haven't talked about Lester Averman at all. Averman was just not the greatest hockey player, but you could tell that he wanted to be like an announcer. He'd be like, Banks is coming down or is skating out of the ice. He takes it one deke, two deke, it's in. Like, he's like at a movie theater. Like, it was just so Averman to be taking tickets at a movie theater.
He definitely grew on me. He definitely grew on me.
Because I just thought he was annoying, but by the end, I kind of fell in love with
his
character.
Yeah. I was exactly the same as you, John. But I love the rollerblading beginning to, I think it's both D2 and D3. It's just so cool. And especially in D3 when Charlie and Goldberg are skating for that really long sequence. Yeah. It's just so funny.
Yeah, there's like dog chasing them. They get, or Goldberg just is like, I'm not a skater, I'm a goalie. But then at the end of the movie, he's a skater. Hey.
Skater, yeah. Which is good. Like, give Julie a chance, please.
The whole thing with like the varsity and the JV like going back and forth was honestly like was pretty funny at points, but sometimes it was just like, come on, let's just see him play hockey.
Let's just play some hockey, guys. Come on.
Yeah, but the ants was really funny.
All right.
Hold on. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Good. Perfect. Had some technical difficulties, but we're all good.
Oh, no problem. What, John? What did you think of the pranks of D3? Because that was
I was gonna touch on. It was like a classic like high school movie in a sense, just because like Disney always does that kind of thing, and like how they kind of had that food fight. You know, I feel like there's always a classic food fight scene that I always love, just because I always wanted to do that in high school. Pranks and stuff are right up my alley, so I thought every scene that they had, like with the pranks or whatnot, was really funny in the third movie.
Yeah, I thought the pranks were really funny. Yeah,
yeah. Go ahead.
Like when.
sorry. This is hard. Owen, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say what I said before, John. I really like the pranks too, but at some points it was just like they were like upset that they were gonna get kicked out. Me and Zach talked about this as well. They were gonna get kicked out of the school for not being good enough at hockey. But I think Zach said like, but you think Brazilian fire ants and your like superior's dorm rooms aren't going to get you kicked out of the school.
I mean, but varsity was just as bad, though.
That's true.
So
I just thought it was funny that Gordon Bombay goes in to defend him, and he's like, there's no grounds for expulsion. And I'm like, there's plenty grounds, bud.
Yeah. But then let's talk about the last game of the season, the JV varsity showdown.
I loved it.
I was punching the air. I was so happy, which you don't usually say you're punching the air because you're happy, but I was jumping up and down in my bedroom watching this film, because the end sequence, you have three of the main characters throughout all three movies. You have Greg Goldberg, star goalie turned defenseman. You have Adam Banks, varsity as a freshman, kicked off varsity because he wasn't cool enough. And you have Charlie Conway, in the third movie, you have Charlie Conway, a stud who is a complete puck hog. And then you also have Julie the Cat Gaffney, who has one of the greatest shutouts I've ever seen from a freshman against a varsity squad. And then she gets out of the net, and varsity has an open net. You're going to make that 10 out of 10 times. And then you have Adam Banks jumping in front of the net to stop it, bounces off his chest over to Charlie. And Charlie's got room to work with at this point. He's going for the triple deke, if you know Charlie. But but he passes it back with like 8 seconds left to the one and only Greg Goldberg. And Goldberg is just in absolute shock that he has the puck. And he ends up scoring. I loved it. I loved every second of it. That three-player sequence right there is what may set this movie higher than the others, in my opinion.
That's just – that whole scene is just like a perfect feel-good, like, sports, like, movie moment. And I don't know. Like, I love that kind of stuff because I'm – I don't know. It was cool. And like you said, Goldberg was not expecting the puck at all. Like, he instantly just froze and he almost didn't even shoot it. And I just thought that's hilarious.
I love that it's those three that were the last people to play. Because Goldberg, Banks, and Charlie kind of become the main characters a little bit, or they're one of the mainstays that you see grow the most.
And those were like the names you hear the most, honestly. Like you hear Goldberg whenever somebody farts, or whenever he farts, which just reminds me so much of me and my friends growing up. We would always say amazing. So it's like Goldberg. So that was honestly really funny to me and reminded me of my youth days.
Of course. Yeah, the moment where Banks hops in front of the puck, like you said, part of me wished it was Charlie who did that.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Banks had already kind of been through hell and back with this whole varsity situation. Like he was being pranked by the main kids too. And so it's like, oh, he's finally back on the team and he has to like sacrifice himself. It was, just, I just felt so bad for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like
thought it was.
If it was Charlie jumping in front of the puck, it would have had like the same effect in a sense.
Yeah.
Like it would have maybe even a stronger effect because he was the selfish guy that was strict on offense in Coach O'Brien. Coach O'Brien was so strict on defense, and then Charlie goes through the thing with Bombay about O'Brien's daughter in the car accident and why he had.
Talk about that.
Then he goes through that, and then he's like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Him leaving the NHL was not like a choice that he could make. And then if Charlie would have jumped in front of it, I just feel like that would have been defense. Like that would have been the main lesson. And I would have absolutely loved it, but I still think it's the same effect.
Like you just touched on the scene with coach O'Brien. Is that correct?
Yeah, you got it.
Coach O'Brien and his daughter. That was, That was one of my favorite scenes of the movie, or of all three movies. And I mean, it really took, like, that's what it took for, to make Charlie see what kind of person his coach really was, because he was so stubborn and set in his ways. And I don't know, I just thought that was a great way to show the kind of person that the Coach O'Ryan really was, because Charlie, like, couldn't see his coach for who he really was. So I thought that was cool that they put that in there.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. I love that Bombay comes back to help Charlie, but only to, like, kind of see, you know, O'Ryan for, you know, like, who he actually is, and to see, like, oh, this is why he left the NHL. This is why he's a coach. And he's a great coach. He has, like, really good leadership, and he disciplines them appropriately. I never felt like any ill will against him. I was always like, oh, he's in the right. He's great. But seeing his daughter is just like such a gut punch, because it's just such a really, really good scene. I love that.
Like, it's like realistic too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a coach and you have that happen to you, like, you're not gonna make that common knowledge to everyone that you know. Like,
right.
Just that's kind of the way things work, I would say.
And I thought it was really cool for O'Ryan's perspective. How when he got made, when Charlie tried to make fun of him for saying that he was just a washed-up athlete and he wasn't any good, like, he didn't let that bother him. But even as an adult, I feel like I would need to say something to defend myself. But he knew what he stood for. So
yeah, I kind of now that you say that, I remember that 100%. And
yeah,
that. That just goes to show you that he was actually, like, a really good character and a really good person in the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved him. Great. Yeah, and just the games that they show in D3 are just so entertaining to watch. Like, we already talked about that last game, but I also love the scrimmage that they have with the JV and the varsity team. That's like, you know, after hours, it's like,
kind of dark in the arena. I love that.
There's smoke on the ice. It's very dramatic. I loved it.
Yeah, that was really good. That's when Banks. No, was that when Banks? No, Banks scored on Julie in the drills, but he was on varsity.
Yeah, I was on.
And then Banks was the reason that the fight happened, because they're like, really, Banks, really? And then, like, the whole thing with, like, the trash, like, the varsity is very good at picking up the trash and scoring, like, stupid goals. And then, like, Coach O'Ryan, like, he pulls, like, a Bombay move and just, like, dumps a bunch of trash on the ice, and, like, they go and, like, they, like, have to hit the trash out before somebody hits a piece of trash in. And, like, it was just very Bombay-esque, like a Bombay drill, like passing and receiving the puck using eggs. It just kind of brought me back to the first movie in that sense.
I didn't consider that, but yeah, it's very true. The drills that they do, like, those are really kind of genius drills, and it fits the characters, and it fits the kids too. The one drill that I think is just so ridiculous is the lasso one. I think it's so funny.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
Go ahead.
No,
I thought what was funny is, in the third movie, Zach and I talked about this earlier today, was them not having a coach show up for the practice at first in D3 for, like, the first practice. They're like, well, let's just start things off like we normally do. Dwayne, grab the lasso.
Like,
that was classic. You
can tell that these kids do not practice on their own, because they're just they're just playing
out here last week.
They're just playing games on the ice.
Yeah, that's really what their practices consisted of at first. And it worked.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, it works. Works well. Well, any other final touches on D3 that you guys can think of characters or moments that you thought were really well put, or you know, a good ending?
Well, go ahead.
Not. This isn't just from the third movie. This is kind of just my opinion, but I guess it is a third movie. I think Banks definitely should have been captain, just because Charlie's kind of not he wasn't the best leader, I guess, in the third movie. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And, you know, I just feel like he would, like, because even, like, off the ice, Charlie was kind of like an, he was kind of just like an asshole to Banks.
Yeah.
When Banks didn't get to choose to be, like, on JV or varsity, like, he kind of just got put there. And then Banks was super nice to him when he got back on the team. Like, I just felt like he was more of my kind of captain.
But, yeah. On the Banks situation, when the varsity takes the JV team out to eat and ends up making them pay, they left Banks. Excuse me. They left Banks out on the, like, out of the loophole. I'm like, oh, we're going to make your friends pay. And they're kind of just like, Banks, let's go get the cake. And then they kind of just brought him out. And, like, you can kind of tell that Banks isn't an ill will kind of person on the varsity team, which by no means he should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad. Cause he kind of gets just dragged along by the older kids. Cause he's definitely a good leader and he's a good player. And he's definitely one of the more mature of the Ducks. Like in D3, you see Charlie, you know, like run off into the locker room after a practice, after he like kind of screamed out at O'Ryan or he was frustrated. He just like chucks his helmet, throws his stick. It's like Banks would never do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of the players would really do that. The only other one I could see doing it would be Fulton Reed.
Which is fitting because those two are the only ones that really kind of hold out against the new coach.
That's true.
Because you see like the main other kids like Russ Tyler and Connie and Guy are like totally, you know, like they just want to play hockey and they don't mind Coach O'Ryan. They miss Bombay, but Russ is also there. Like they're all out there on scholarship and Russ tells Charlie multiple times, he's like, I need to be here or else I won't be getting, you know, like a good education. And it's like, Charlie does not care. It's like, what?
It was just kind of, it's like really selfish. I get like, and they just like skip school and go to the, what was that? Like the fair or whatever. I'm like, really? Like you're supposed to be the captain of the team. And
wants to drop out and go to Canada to play junior league. So it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, Charlie's like, oh, let's just drop. We can go to a public school for 2 years and then drop out and go play juniors. Like that, like that's extremely hard to do, Charlie. You were the worst player on the team for 2 years. What do you expect, man?
I mean, at the play level that they just like decided to make him in the third movie, he probably could have played juniors, but like, I don't know.
He's only like 14.
I mean, but not to be critical. Actually, I guess this is kind of critical. I just thought it was funny. Like, I guess it's just a movie, but they like were the number one team in like the entire world for their 14U age division or whatever, right? And then they all just get put on like the JV team. Like that's literally not possible. Like,
it's such a weird situation because not only are they like just the JV team of this school, but they also like they touch on it. They don't let other kids try out to be on the team as well. Like whoever's on like the school board, his kid can't play hockey because the Ducks are there. Which is like kind of really sucks. Like I felt bad for the guy. It's like, what, your kid can't play because these like kids that have an NHL hockey team named after them have a Disney movie.
Oh, and another thing is the return of Dean Portman in the third movie.
That was lit.
The return.
Sorry? He literally didn't do anything besides get a penalty, but like it made the movie better, in my opinion.
And then we're missing a pivotal moment of the third movie. It's the passing of Hans.
Oh, of course.
Which brings Gordon back initially, and then that is what brings Charlie back. And then before the last game, before the showdown between JV and varsity, you have them touching the ice, which I forgot what country Hans is from. I don't think it was Russia, but whatever country.
Said it was like a Norwegian ritual or something.
That's what it was. It was a Norwegian
ritual. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I loved Hans, and I think that's such a cool, just such a, that's why I like D3 so much, because you see Charlie start as the leader of the team of the kids, and then he gets totally left out. Like he and Fulton leave the team, but then Fulton goes back to the team because he realizes that they can't, it's not sustainable to just skip school all the time or move to Canada or whatever.
Yeah.
And so Charlie's like, okay, well, the only person on my side is Hans. And Hans still thinks that he should, you know, play for the school, you know, play with his friends. And then when Hans passes away, it's like Charlie really has no one. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for him to kind of like have Bombay help him see the light almost, where it's like, you got to go back to your friends because you have no one.
This is all you got. Yeah, this is all you got. Yeah. I guess I didn't really think of it that way, but that's a good point.
It's very true.
Well, there's another thing that I just realized looking on the Disney fandom website, which is my number one source this whole time. Apparently, D3 was like critically panned in comparison to the other two. It has a 20% Rotten Tomato rating, which is, in my opinion, preposterous. That, yeah. I think it's amazing.
But if you want to judge it off of how it fits into the trilogy, I mean,
yeah, if you're judging it how it fits in with the trilogy, well, like, and like just the fact that it doesn't have Gordon Bombay in it anymore, like the second movie, if we're going based off of like trilogy and like Gordon Bombay and like everyone as a whole,
and Charlie, yeah,
like, I would say like, the second movie I feel is like my favorite in that thing. Aspect. But if you made the third movie a standalone film, I would say the third movie. Like, I don't know, I'm a little torn between the second movie. I honestly like them all. Like I can't really like distinguishly like say full heartedly I have a favorite of the three.
I think I'm still gonna go with number one, honestly. I know you guys like three, but just like I just like the original because that's where the whole relationship between the kids starts, and that's what, you know, like that's what starts everything is in the first movie. Mm. So I'd say out of all three,
my
favorite is definitely the first
one. I kind
of
had a little bit of a change of heart in a sense, with like the third being my complete total favorite. Like, just if you really think about it, you get the introduction of the kids in the third movie and the second movie, and you have all the important characters from the first movie and the second movie. So, if the kids didn't stick around, like you only have a handful that move on to the second movie, but it's all the important ones. You have Guy, you have Charlie, you have Banks, you have Connie, you have Averman. Like, so you still have you have Goldberg, for heaven's sake. You have all these important characters, and I think the lesson that they learned in that movie, like with like taking things seriously and not being caught up in the media. Like, I mean, this, like, it was kind of before its time in a way, because like that happens all the time now with people getting caught up in the media, and I just think that's very cool and very well done. So I'm gonna take my chip out of D3 and go into D2.
Okay, we got one vote for movie one, one for two. What about you, Zach?
I think I'll stick with my initial gut choice. I'll round it out. So my favorite is D3. Mainly, I'm going story wise, plot wise. I love Charlie's arc in this one. I think it's really fitting that he as this sort of like young adult who's struggling, he's a new setting. It makes sense that he kind of pushes everyone away. But then with Bombay coming back to give him like kind of one last lesson almost, he sticks with his friends. He picks hockey over himself. And I just like where the characters end up with D3. I see how it kind of changes things in a trilogy standpoint. It's not exactly super fitting with like where one and two were going. But if you were looking at it strictly with like, okay, what happens in it? What do the characters learn? Like, what do I see as an audience member? It just, for me, the D3 looks the best and it's like the most interesting, from a story standpoint.
That's fair.
And
if I were to take it out of the trilogy, it'd probably be. I don't know. Two is really good. I feel like they all are like really good in their own way. Like, no, that sounds really cheesy, but I feel like each movie has like their standout moments that make it special.
Yeah, sure, sure. But that makes sense.
But this, I have something that we could talk about off air or on air.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Disney Plus series, everything we know about the TV spinoff.
There's a new one coming out?
Series coming out on Disney Plus.
Spinoff.
It'll have 10
When's it coming out?
At some point when Disney's deal with HBO comes to an end.
Ooh.
So stay
tuned. Okay.
That'll be something we have to watch.
Yeah, we have a new thing to watch.
The lead role. Any guesses?
Tell me it's
Emilio
Banks.
Estevez. So it's Banks, Gordon Bombay.
Banks.
Bombay's back?
Could be back. And Steve Brill, the original screenwriter, also to return for this show. So stay tuned, everybody.
Dang, he's going to... I feel like... Would you have any ideas?
I'm obviously, it's not going to be the same kids. Right, so I feel like this is a quick little sentence.
Okay.
After getting kicked off the junior division Mighty Ducks team, a 13-year-old boy and his mom decide to start their own team, finding players, a coach, and a place to play. So there's nothing like confirmed about that being completely true, but that's just a leak synopsis.
After getting kicked off the Ducks?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Weird.
That's interesting. And then they make their own teams, as I said.
So we will see. But I don't think it's going to tie in at all to the first three movies, which is kind of upsetting. But probably now these actors are like 30, 40 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez has got to be like 50.
Some of which are.
Emilio's got to be older. How old?
So he's not that old.
Mm.
Okay.
No.
But I mean, all the kids, there's no way they could get all the kids back, obviously.
I was hoping like maybe a Banks or a Charlie would come back to like be the new coach. Really cool. But
that'd be cool. Yeah. They usually do that in spinoffs. I'm surprised that I found this.
Emilio Estevez.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised that.
Oh, he's my taking God. That role. I'm looking at a couple pictures right now, and I see that Adam Banks, when the original Mighty Ducks jerseys were out, was the captain.
There we go.
No way.
They would sell jerseys to people as like merch?
I could buy one right now. I actually might.
Bro, I might have to. That's dope.
get a Banks. Captain Banks jersey. That's awesome.
That after this is done, but
I gotta find it. Yes,
don't worry about it.
Wait, where'd you see that, bro? I've been said Adam's my favorite character.
Even Zach knows. Who is I?
I'm seeing this. Banks, 99. We got a Banks jersey. Oh, this is nice. This is nice.
Yeah. Crazy.
They really did Charlie like that. Like, does he have a captain jersey?
No one would want it.
Doesn't sell well.
Charlie Conway jersey. We'll see. Okay, yeah, he does.
96. Dang. Nah.
I might have to mess around. You know, we should probably stop talking about which jerseys we're buying in front of everybody. But, I don't know.
I guess.
I think they're interested because I want to find, is there a Goldberg jersey I could find?
Oh, my God.
hold up, guys.
They probably do have the whole game.
Yeah, Goldberg 33. Like, it's right here.
Luis Mendoza. Yeah.
I'm finding a lot of it on this website, Have Jerseys, and it's like really, really surprisingly nice jerseys. It's like, whoa, it's nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm on too. That's funny. I might legit get one of these, honestly. I might get the Banks one.
I've been a Banks since day one. I'm getting Banks no matter what. Nothing will change me.
Okay, I'm getting banks. Hold on. I don't know what else.
We can all get banks.
We just all get a banks jersey.
Okay, I want the green one.
I'm getting the green
one. You can have whatever else. On.
I literally gave you the idea of a jersey.
I said it first.
Yes, I did. I'm looking at Adam Banks.
You did right not.
Now. He has the Captain C on his chest.
Okay, but still. Wait, they only have the two. They one. Only have two of them, though. The white one sounds cool. Actually, the white one is pretty cool.
But that's the like Anaheim the Ducks are Ducks based logo. Off the Mighty Ducks. That's literally the oh. how the Anaheim Ducks came into being.
Yeah, but the I understand, but the retro one's cooler.
With like the scary cartoon duck on skates.
Yeah. No. This is just like the duck with like it's supposed to, I don't know, it's supposed to be like the
gold. Oh, sure. I like yeah. those. I all I've been seeing is like this weird character. It's like this duck with sunglasses on skates. It's the only jerseys I can find.
Dude, you can even get a Hawks jersey, dude. A Banks Bank? Hawks jersey. I wonder if they have that. That's kind of cool, actually. they have an Adam Banks Warrior jersey. What is this? That's insane.
There's a whole market for Disney sports jerseys.
Dude, there's a Team USA one.
Dude, a Team USA one. You can get a Gordon Bombay Waves jersey. Swear to God.
Stop.
My AHL jersey. What? What the hell?
That's crazy.
This is weird.
I might legit get this.
Such a weird... I wonder, is the Waves a weird Minnesota Waves? Is that a real AHL team?
I don't know
AHL that well. Minnesota Waves.
You can see Minnesota AHL team.
I think it might be made for the movie because the top picture is just Gordon Bombay. I love it. All right.
I don't think they have. Yeah, I don't think Minnesota has their own AHL team. Looks like it's the Iowa Wild. Is there?
Yeah, because Minnesota Wild, Wild, Iowa Wild. That makes sense. Nice.
I just ordered one.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to get one of these jerseys.
I'm bluffing, John.
You're bluffing because I just ordered one. Oh, I'll send you my receipt. One.
Adam Banks jersey.
Purple, green, yellow.
Mine's actually it's green. Perfect colorway. With a hint of yellow and purple.
Okay. You know what I meant. All right. I'm gonna be pretty upset if you actually get this, dude.
You did not pick out.
I any picked colorway, out the colorway first. Sake. Okay.
I
did pick out the color I said I want the green jersey, one.
Dude. Well, mine's already ordered, so.
I don't care. Okay.
I'm not.
And with that, we thank you for listening to the Warp Drive.
Thank you, Owen. We appreciate your business. If you have any questions or concerns, please email us anytime at insert email here. Oh, I just got the email saying my order number 5440 has been confirmed, John.
Definitely a bluff. Zach, that sounds like a
bluff. Oh, and you'll have to send me a picture of you in the Banks jersey. I'm eager to see how it turns out.
It's not shitter.
It's going to be like, it's not licensed by Disney. It's going to be either like a doll-sized jersey or like horribly stitched or something like that.
I spent a decent amount of money on it.
It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it... Yeah.
I mean, it's $50. Like,
is that a normal jersey cost? Some of the jerseys are pretty expensive sometimes, right?
Hockey jerseys are usually double, probably more. They're like $140.
Yeah, but
crazy expensive.
Next time we go to a Griffins game, Owen, you'll have to be repping your Banks jersey.
100%.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you, Owen and John, for taking some time out of your day to discuss the Mighty Ducks trilogy. Oh, Did you guys enjoy?
I love these movies. I love chatting on the podcast with you, of course, Zach, and I always love to have my one of my best friends, John, and roommate John, here with us.
Yeah, you know, it's only my second or third time on, but it's always I love getting to talk to you guys about
whatnot. You have to come on more frequently. We need to. My hope with this sort of like social distancing where we have to record over the phone is we find more and more things to watch. So if either of you guys have any ideas of other beloved Disney sports movies, we'll definitely move on to the next one.
For sure. Yeah. I'll do.
Oh, I could definitely dive into some digging right now.
Watched a few Netflix series we could get into, but.
Oh, and you were saying what is it? The Outer Banks? Is that pretty good?
That would be a good thing to do a podcast on. Honestly, a lot of people have seen it, and it's very good, but it's also very it's cheesy and unrealistic at points. Mm. It has a bunch of good discussion topics, I would say.
John, have you seen this show? Have you heard about it?
I have heard of it. Heard about it. I just got done watching The Ozark, which is a good show. I don't know if you'd be interested in that one, but yeah, I might start Outer Banks.
I've heard Ozark's really great. I don't know if I could do a podcast about it. I'd probably be depressed by the end of it. It's just really, really.
I don't know.
Yeah, that and there's just
that
so
might be
much
a little heavy
talk about
for
that,
a podcast.
It's a huge show. It's huge. Cool.
Yeah, but I'm definitely down to do this again if you're willing.
All right, we'll talk about it. Thank you guys for listening to the Warp Drive. It's an honor to make new episodes for you guys. Hope you enjoyed this one, and keep an eye out for any ones in the future.
For me and
thanks for listening.